Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You all know those motivational posters that started going up on the walls of so many open floor offices in the 90s and the early aughts, yes? There was like the one with the eagle soaring over a silhouette of a mountain peak at sunset, or giant waves in the foreground, an expansive ocean horizon stretching out behind. And then there's one word like leadership or perseverance and like a tagline under it. Yeah, I see some. One year, around that, a little after that time, my father discovered a company whose website was, and is, I found, I'll say they've done well for themselves, despair.com. And there you can still find today a treasure trove of cynical and ironic versions of the same posters. Maybe you've seen those too. My favorites include a circle of hands like a football huddle, and over the word meetings, and the tagline is, "None of us is as dumb as all of us." Or stress, where a solitary figure is standing on a barren, rocky peak with clouds stretching out and around all below and in front of them. And it just says, "Just look for me somewhere beyond the limits of human endurance." The one for tradition has a blurred action shot of the running of the bulls and says, "Just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean it's not incredibly stupid." And election season is ramping up, so when I looked back at the website this week, the view of the U.S. Capitol at dawn over the word government also caught my eye. So I read on, "You think the problems we create are bad, just wait till you see our solutions." Now, both the idealistic and the sarcastic versions of these posters, and in fact probably most of the things that we see and post on the internet, appeal to us because somewhere within them is a kernel of truth that we're probably already predisposed to believe, that's most palatable when it's boiled down into something simple and easily digestible, like an image and a tagline. And of course, our real lives and relationships and world are much more messy. Living out our hopes and our values, our connections to one another, is often not a pretty picture with a catchy turn of phrase. That's why I'm so fond of what we hear in the Gospel of John today. Because people have begun to encounter Jesus, who is beginning his public ministry. They all want an explanation of who he is and what he is about to do. John recognizes him when he appears. But as soon as he starts trying to put into words who Jesus is, he starts making even less sense than he already did. "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes one who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.'" And he says again and again, "I did not know him," but he seems to know him now. And he rambles out the story of Jesus' baptism in a way that seems like it would make no sense to anyone who wasn't actually there when it happened. But some of the disciples who have been following John wanted to know more. They wanted to unravel those riddles a little bit. And so it seems like they kind of start tailing Jesus. And Jesus turns around and asks them point blank, "What are you looking for?" And they seem really wrong-footed by the question. They don't have a very good answer, so they just ask where he's staying. And Jesus clearly does not know the rules of what you share with weird people who are following you on the street who you've only just met. And he invites them to come and see. But of course, it's really the disciples who don't know what they're getting into. Jesus doesn't offer them an itinerary or a clear job description or an inspiring quote. He just tells them that if they really want to know what he is about, they're just going to have to come along. It's fitting that this year we hear these words from John on the same weekend that many of us will pause for at least a few moments, maybe not quite enough moments, to honor the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He is someone who, in some of our own lifetimes, answered the complicated call to come and see what God is doing and to be a part of it. And many beautiful quotes will be posted alongside images of him or his memorial or beautiful sunsets. But we probably only truly honor him if we come and see a little bit farther than what we are already inclined to believe, than a few sentences and a meme, a little farther than what we think we already know, farther than the inspiring quote and the beautiful picture. It is not easy, though. I think one of the reasons that this journey is so hard to take is probably the same reason it was for those disciples by the Jordan River thousands of years ago. Because we may not have an answer to Jesus' question, "What are you looking for?" We may think we're playing spy behind Jesus, tiptoeing along, kind of noncommittal, just trying to figure out what he's up to. But he knows we're there. And he knows there's a hunger in our hearts that is pulling us along behind him. Maybe we're not even really aware of what we're looking for. There's so much to distract us. So many reasons we may feel like we're not allowed to look for or name what we hunger for more than anything in the world. Maybe we've been convinced we don't deserve it. Or even worse, if we do name our deepest desires, we might have to really confront the possibility that our hungers and our yearnings will go unfulfilled. If we say it out loud, it seems like we feel the absence even worse. Or so we think. And that is a real risk of stepping out boldly into the path of discipleship. It is. We might get hurt. We might lose something that matters to us. We might not find the thing that matters, that is still eluding us. it might not go the way we hope. And it sure won't fit on a motivational poster caption. But the question and the call are still good news. And here's why. Before we know what we're looking for, or when we can't admit it to ourselves, or find the strength to say it out loud because of our shame or our fear, before we can answer Jesus' question, Jesus has actually already offered his own answer to us. Jesus has taken on all the risk of rejection, all the vulnerability of honesty, because his presence is his answer. It's why we are all here right now with one another and before God. He is inviting us to join him, to come and see together, because he is here to come and see and love and claim and journey with us. His answer to the question, what are you looking for, is you. He is here looking for us. And that's why we don't have to be afraid of our own answer to the question, even if we haven't sorted it out yet. It's the only way that we can really accept the invitation to come and see. But we can answer. We can come and see because Jesus has done it first. And what comes next simply won't be easy. It will refuse to be domesticated, boiled down to a caption under a photo of an eagle soaring over a mountain at sunset. It will be messy and difficult and life-changing and everything we could ever be looking for. The Lamb of God is here with us. The kingdom of God has come close. The arc of the moral universe keeps bending towards justice. There is so much work to do, so much love to share. Come and see. Amen.